Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus, the Son of God, completely submitted himself as Son of Man to his Father's purpose and will. Jesus tells us, "Follow me." That is the Christian life. It's not lists of do's and don'ts. It's a relational journey in fellowship with and in submission to God's will and purpose for our lives. Please open your Bible to Psalm 40, verse 5, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this messianic psalm.
Look at verse 5. Oh my. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Circle that. Put that under your pillow tonight, after you watch the evening news. David expresses appreciation for the Lord's innumerable and wonderful acts of deliverance. He says here that if he tried to speak of all the things that God had planned for his own, they would be too numerous to tell. In Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." Just think. Just think. How much more peace and confidence and calmness you and I would have in our lives if we thought about God as much as he thought about us. We need to have a God focus in lives. That is so critical. To live our daily lives with a focus on God. Because when you and I don't have a focus on God, then we will tend to have a big problem, small God mentality. But we have a big God, and problems are small. We've got a big God. It's bigger than everything. Better than everything. Bigger than anything that you and I could ever face in life. You know, in one of my visits this time in India, I spoke at a brand new church. And of course, all of the issues that we're hearing about here are going on over there. And just to get their attention, I like to get people's attention, not on me, but on the Lord. I said, "I'm here to tell you tonight that there is something more deadly than the coronavirus." Boy, oh boy, they're shaking their heads like this. "What is he going to say?" I said, "Well, there is something that we need to be very, very careful about and cautious about. Don't ignore it. Don't make nothing of it. Don't make too much of it. It's something that if you get it, it might kill you. I'm telling you tonight, you have something that will kill you. You are SIN positive, and the only cure is Jesus Christ. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's Jesus Christ." Big God. Big God. Big God. Whatever the issue is you're dealing with, don't have a big problem mentality. Have a big God mentality. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also do great things?" Now, in verses 6 through 8, they're going to be very familiar to you and I, because they begin what is the messianic portion of the psalm. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Of course, that's Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. When he says, my ears you have opened, in the book of Exodus chapter 21, when a slave had the option of being set free, if he loved his master and says, I want to be your servant for life, they would take that slave and that they would bore a hole in their right ear, which indicated that they were servants for life. Meaning, you have bound me as a slave to you. But everyone is a slave to something. Every human being is a slave to something. Everyone. People are slaves to beauty, slaves to sports, slaves to money. Everybody is a slave to something. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of who. And who you are a slave to, that is what will drive you. That is what gives you meaning and purpose in life. So you think, there's only one master that will never put you into bondage, and that's Jesus Christ. Incredible. Jesus, the Son of God, completely submits himself as Son of Man to his Father's purpose and will. Jesus says, follow me. That is the Christian life. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a relational journey in fellowship with and submission to the will and the purpose of God for our lives, not only the mountaintops, but the pits. It happens. Burnt offering and offering for sin you have not required. In other words, outward observance of rituals, sacraments. There are no substitutes for what God is really looking for. Loving obedience from the heart. Now, it's not that God didn't want David to bring offerings, but he wanted them to be brought with a right heart. In Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31, we read, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. Going through empty motions of religious ritual apart from a devotion to Christ in the heart is nothing at all. Nothing at all. It means nothing to him. The Pharisees were a group that had a reputation of being devoted to God. And they fooled half the people. They didn't fool Jesus. And recall what Jesus said about their sacrifices. He said, it's empty. It's nothing. Oh, they pray. They give. They fast. But it's not coming from their heart. It's all ritual. You see, the desire to do God's will must come from the heart. You recall in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, Samuel was a Levite. Samuel was a prophet. And he certainly wasn't, nor is David, criticizing the Jewish sacrificial the system. He's not doing that here. The Lord, through Moses, had established Jewish worship. And it was right for the people to bring their sacrifices to the Lord. That was the appointed way of approaching God. But over a period of time, it just became routine. It just became something that you do, right? I just come here on Wednesday night. I stare at you. You stare at me. You tolerate me. And I tolerate you. And then we go home. What'd you do? Oh, I went to church. You know, it's so easy to go through the motions, isn't it? It is so easy to go through the motions. Over a period of time, for the most part, the worshipers weren't coming to the Lord with hearts of worship. They were just doing it out of ritual. John MacArthur said this, "In many ways, the attitude of obedience is much more vital than the act. Because if the attitude is right, the act will naturally follow. But the right action with the wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy." I want God, I would rather have the right heart with the wrong facts than the right facts in a wrong heart. Because God can do something with my heart that is right. Give us right hearts, Lord. You see, the Lord is looking for living and loving surrender from you and me that comes from our heart. That means more to him than dead animals on the altar. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. Micah chapter 6 says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God." God asked those rhetorical questions to suggest to Israel that nothing, not even the most extreme sacrifice, could atone for what they had done. And God did not want them to think that they could pay him for their forgiveness. You see, true religion, beloved, in the sight of God, consists of a whole life that is lived in the awareness of and response to the unmerited, undeserved, saving grace and love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, only Jesus can atone for our sin. And only by receiving God's grace through Christ will we have a change of heart, a change of motive, a change of attitude. Of course, this is Jesus. He's going to fulfill the law for you and me. "Behold, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart," or in the very depth of my being. Now, in context, it is David who responded to the truth in verse 6 by yielding his life to do God's will out of a love for him from the heart. And David presented himself willingly to the Lord. As a king, he was told that he was to write the copies of the law. He was to meditate in the law day and night. And then he was to obey what God said. But these verses here have so much application for us. For you and I, they present a marvelous example of what is involved in dedicating ourselves to God. After 11 chapters of some of the most incredible theology in all of the New Testament, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, these words. This is what it's all about. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," or in the Greek, worship. "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what David is saying here. Lord, I'm yours. I'm all yours. My law is within my heart. not just in knowing the teachings, but with this deep desire to know Him and obey Him. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 12, quotes these words that I read in verses 6 through 8 to tell of who? A greater David, who told his father that he would willingly live the obedient life that we should have lived and die the death we should have died in order to bring us to God. And in these verses, verses 6 through 8, this is just incredible. We actually are overhearing a conversation between the Father and the Son, and to know that from all eternity, they loved us and planned our salvation at such an infinite cost. But Jesus didn't only pierce his ear, his forehead, his back, his side, his hands, and his feet, all for you and for me. And that's why it's so important, the older that we get, that we treasure more and more the gospel, that we ask God to show us what was going on that cross, till we get to the point that we are really deeply moved by what Jesus did for us. Verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lord, lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, you know, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You probably saw all of the thys there, didn't you? In verses 9 and 10, David is giving testimony to the greatness of the Lord. He spoke of his righteousness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his truth. That's our God. He's our righteousness. He's faithful. He's kind. He's truthful. The Bible says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. You know what the gospel of a legalist is? Get your act together. You know what the gospel of a moralist is? Try harder. If you're in a pit, you never want to talk to someone that is a legalist or a moralist. You give them absolutely zero zippo hope. You know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? Trust Him. You tell someone that's in the pit, get your act together. Yeah, and then you put a mirror up to your face. You tell someone in a pit, try harder. You tell someone in a pit, trust Christ. That's the gospel. You know that, right? I haven't hit it. David is just, he's just out there. He's just talking about the righteousness of God, the faithfulness of God, the salvation of God, the loving kindness of God, the truth of God. He just is boasting of God on steroids. It's a good thing. And because he had tasted and seen how good the Lord was, he says, withhold not your tender mercies from me, O Lord. O Lord, don't let this pass. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. But now in verse 12, there's a change. And sometimes things can change, right? Sometimes so quickly. There's a tendency to think, okay, this is like, can we just stop at verse 11? Maybe that's, yeah, we like Psalm 40 verses 1 through 11. That's great. Yeah. But unfortunately, verse 12 is reality. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Wow. The tone of the psalm changes dramatically here from one of praise and thanksgiving to now one where David is reflecting. On what? His own heart. David begins his supplication by petitioning the Lord to continue his mercy, his loving kindness and truth because of the many troubles and sins that surrounded him. Notice the troubles in verse 12 that David was experiencing were directly related to his many sins that he says, I can't even count them. Neither can you and I. I believe that the longer one walks with the Lord, the more you are going to realize that Christ has redeemed you from sins that are beyond counting. You know, one of the most painful and yet truthful evidences of our human depravity and how much we need Christ is that everyone in this room, everyone watching online, we have committed, if not in the presence of other people, we have committed the most horrific sins in the presence of God. We've had the most horrific thoughts, motives, attitudes, desires, and sometimes actions that no human being have ever seen. But God did. I don't know how long ago, but I was this tweet caught my eye. Tim Keller wrote, "The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints." But we don't do bad people very good, do we? Uh-uh. We're like the elder brother. We don't do that around here. We don't forgive people like that. I wrote this down for me, so I'm going to share this with you in case it ministers to you. Be careful of judging brothers and sisters in Christ who sin differently than you do. Let me repeat that. Some of you need to hear that. Be careful judging brothers and sisters in Christ who sin differently than you do. David says, And you know what? Here's the thing. What did God call David? David, you're a man after my own heart. You know why? Because he owned his sin. He owned his sin. He called adultery, adultery. He called greed, greed. He called anger, anger. He owned it. Whoso hides his sins will not prosper. Whoso covers his sins, but whoso confesses them, Lord. He knows it all. He knows it all. And the one who knows it all loves us most. Isn't that incredible? And what did Jesus say? He says, and now you follow me. You follow me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.